Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. I'm Dustin Hockersmith and Greg Pickle here with me. We've got a full show, Penn State football, big recruiting weekend for Penn State, so we'll recap that. Coming to you, of course, from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Lash Bash weekend, a lot of visitors on campus. Greg's going to give us his rundown on what the most important developments were and what it means moving forward. He's also going to, a little bit later in the show, give his five must-get targets remaining in Penn State's class. There are 20 commits already. James Franklin has said they could top 30, so five won't even get him halfway there, but these are five guys you have to know. We'll round things out with Ask Greg. We'll also have some other little odds and ends, news and notes from the past week. So we do want to get started with Lash Bash. And, you know, a lot of kids show up on campus. My question, I guess, Greg, is with the new recruiting calendar, does the purpose of Lash Bash change? Like, I think a lot of times in the past, this was something that started under Bill O'Brien years ago. You circle this weekend as a big commitment weekend. But now the recruiting calendar is a little different. June and July were huge, especially June as far as getting commitments. It just didn't seem like anybody was close on this, and it was more like a relationship building thing.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, I think when you have 20 guys in your class, you're kind of out of the commitment game at that point, if you will. I mean, you don't ever want to count out maybe a 2021 committing, maybe a guy getting an offer and deciding on the spot, but that didn't happen for Penn State this weekend. Still a good weekend. If you look back at the history of Lash Bash weekend, it's almost always been a relationship building thing. And when they have these kids on campus for this event, it's a pretty good indicator that they're going to get some of them down the road. So the one I watched coming out of it, of course, is Dio Johnson, the four-star tight end. I think he had a great time on campus. He's not going to decide until the fall, but when we look back on his recruitment and where he ends up, I think he will end up at Penn State eventually, and ultimately this visit weekend will be one of the largest reasons why. So it was a good opportunity for them. They sent out a couple of new offers, and they were able to put some 2021 and 2022 guys through some workouts at camp and offered them as well. So I think it was a productive weekend, even if you didn't have the commitment fireworks that we've seen at this event in the past.
You have to change your definition of productive, and I think it's just not that many weekends that so many. I don't know if they went 20 for 20 with, as far as getting commitments on campus for this, but there was a large group of commitments. And you want to talk about relationship building. That's not just with the coaches. That's with the current players, guys that they're staying with, and then the kids in the class. It's hard to believe, you know, a kid is going to commit to Penn State when he doesn't get along with any of the 20 commits in the class.
Right.
So that's one of the big things in this, is just to further the relationships with all the other kids as well and let them do some recruiting for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what, you know, guys like, you know, you have, it's interesting because these recruiting classes, you have 20, you know, this particular one, you have 20 guys in it. And some of them are guys who are not going to want to really be active on social media and do sort of the, I don't want to say grunt work, but a lot of the legwork of messaging guys and all that kind of stuff. But when you get them on campus and you get in front of them, it changes things pretty significantly. So I think this group has a lot of kids willing to spread the message. You know, I would argue that Nick Dawkins might be the best one at it and the most prolific one at it, but there's a few of them. And then I think just from the commitment standpoint, it was good to get RJ Adams back on campus. He's a guy that has been committed to for a long time, but has taken some visits to other schools. So to get him back on campus, I think was a plus.
Yeah, you're clearly going to have to kind of compete for RJ Adams. You made that little SEC swing. I think he's got plans to take some other visits too.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys who's not going to honor that don't visit elsewhere thing. And I don't really blame kids for doing that. To circle back to Theo Johnson, tight end from Canada, really impressive athlete. We'll touch on his game a little bit more when we get into your must-get targets. Spoiler alert on that one. But it looked like at one point he wasn't going to make it to campus for this weekend. And you got to keep in mind that this is a big recruiting weekend all over the place. So there's competition to get kids on campus, to have that a situation where it didn't look like you were going to get him on. Then he arrives on campus. How big of a deal is it just to get him and get some FaceTime with this kid?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, again, anytime you get guys on campus, excuse me, to be around your coaching staff is a big deal. But when you can get them around those 20 commits, all the players that are there, you know, it can change just about, you know, any recruitment. You know, there's times when, you know, some guys just aren't going to be swayed by, you know, your coaches, or for whatever, you know, for whatever reasons, guys aren't always going to be swayed. But in this particular case, again, I think it's a chance to it's a chance to move up into recruitment. It's a pretty fierce battle at this point. There's a lot of schools fighting for his services, and the fact that Penn State got that visit coming out of the dead period is a big deal because, again, you mentioned it, schools all around the country are trying to jam this past weekend into a big recruiting weekend because they can't host kids in August. It's a dead period, which, you know, changes the way that, you know, used to be kids could come visit for camp and all that, but that's not the case anymore. So you only have one shot between, June 26th and basically September 1st to host kids. So when guys are picking your school, that's a pretty big deal. But it's not the end of the world if some kids decide to go visit another school, because again, it's the one, you know, it's the one school they have a chance to check out, you know, pretty much between a 2-month time period in the summer.
Yeah, so, you know, with Theo Johnson, we don't know where this recruitment's going to go. So any little development is actually kind of a big development. So that's a good one for Penn State last bash weekend. Talking Penn State football and looking ahead a little bit to 2019, if you're listening to this now, you are running out of time to get the buy one, get one free deal from GoPSURB. It only runs through the end of July. It's for the first two weekends of the season. That's Idaho and Buffalo. You rent one RV from them. You get a second one free for the same weekend. You double everything, friends, family, and fun. It's an awesome experience. We call it the ultimate tailgating experience around here. You can check it out at gopsurv.com, but just know it's basically 48 hours of tailgating around a game. So check it out at gopsurv.com. Another good development for Penn State in terms of visitors is Jalen Berger, the four-star running back from Don Bosco Prep in New Jersey. His recruitment also is pretty wide open, but Penn State is there. Penn State's actually right there with several running backs, and I don't know what the number is in this class, Greg, but I think Jalen Berger is at or near the top of the target list at running back, and they're going to take at least one.
Yeah, so I think it really comes down to, do they get him or do they get Keziah Holmes from Florida? And then Kevon Lee is sort of still in the picture as well. He's a Florida kid too, so yeah, I mean, they might end up taking two in this class. I don't know. I mean, do they need to take two? You could probably make the argument that they don't. But, you know, what's Journey Brown's future after the summer-long suspension? You know, does he come in here, and is he a guy that it rebounds and is in the rotation, or is he not? That question won't be answered for a month. But, you know, Ricky Slade, Devin Ford, Noah Cain, these are all guys that are high-level players that could very easily fall in the path of Miles Sanders and declare for the NFL draft after just 3 years in college. So I think you have to always be planning for that. And I think that, you know, if Penn State is forced to take more than one, I think it has the space to, but whether it will or not, I'm not sure. Of course, once the first guy finally pulls the trigger, then the other two are going to have to decide what they want to do. Do they want to go be in a class with this, with another running back, or do they want to try and find somewhere where there's not another running back already in the class? So a lot of dominoes in place there, but Penn State's in good shape for sure at running back.
So Jalen Berger, the plan as of now, not announcing until, I guess it's the Under Armour game, January 4th is when he's planning his announcement. You're going to see, I mean, I don't know that this is a huge factor in some of their recruitments, but with Penn State bringing in two running backs in the 2019 class, you have a chance to evaluate, okay, what's happening with those two guys?
Right.
But the running back position affords you that luxury of being able to recruit in pretty large numbers, because you can use realistically three or four of these guys at a time. Some of the best backfields in the country are the ones doing exactly that. And I don't think in this day and age, you know, the ability to touch the ball, I don't know, 250 times in a year is not a real big priority for kids. It's knowing now the way that, you know, the NFL has shifted more to this approach, and the way that they evaluate film, that they don't need a huge sample size. I think a season or two worth of good running, plus your testing skills, plus everything else, is going to get you in the door on an NFL team. And guys like Alvin Kamara, who were never really primary ball carriers for their college teams, end up blowing up at the NFL level. That's the belief system for these running backs. So the ability to get two guys in back-to-back classes, I buy that Penn State is going to be able to do that, and that it's going to just be part of them you know, the approach moving forward, just mixing and matching players.
Yeah, and just using, you know, always having a fresh guy ready to go is not a bad way to do it. And Penn State is currently in that position with its, you know, with its recruiting classes so far. And then if they can get two in here, it'll be a big deal. Just one thing to touch on. They did send out a new 2020 offer, New York tackle Ibrahim Traore. And I think that this is a guy who, I don't want to say he's going to wrap up his recruitment quick, because part of me wonders if he's not one of these kids that, you know, they pick up a Penn State offer and then all of a sudden other schools start offering him balking decisions. Right. And, you know, so I won't be surprised to see some more offers come in for him, but he's one to keep an eye on coming out of this event for sure. Another one that, again, Penn State has been pretty active this camp season, sending out offers to guys that maybe aren't four or five stars, but that pass the Penn State staff's eye test. And it looks like Traore does, and they clearly like what he did during camp, so they want to try and see if they can get him. Miami's offered as well.
Yeah, he'd be another kid, you know, just the eyeball test and the importance of that for Penn State. I know we've hammered on that topic before, but they see a kid who checks whatever boxes they want. I don't think they're real concerned about what their national profile is on the recruiting front. There's a, you know, they just have that belief in themselves. Another offer I wanted to ask you about was Nate Bruce, the Harrisburg offensive lineman. He's a 2021. 6'5", 300 pounds, you see a kid who might need to reshape his body a little bit, but he's got a very impressive frame already, and he's just going to be a junior in high school. I think the Harrisburg pipeline has a chance to be very real. You have Micah Parsons and Damian Barber, of course. You lost out on Andre White in last cycle, but you know, this is a school in Penn State's backyard, and it's also a school that consistently produces talent that can reach the FBS ranks.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, obviously, they'll have Micah Parsons in his ear, Damian Barber as well, trying to land his commitment. But yeah, I think the key to that was Penn State liked what they saw, even though he's a younger guy. Sometimes with local younger kids, they wait a little bit longer than other schools just to be sure that they're not offering a guy just because of where he lives and not necessarily his film and talent and everything else. But he got his family up to State College, and that was a big deal and a big part of it. And I think that the fact that Penn State decided to pull the trigger now doesn't necessarily mean that Bruce is going to turn around and commit tomorrow, but I think it could be fairly soon, or maybe the next time he comes to campus. I think they sit in perfect shape with him.
Makes them the leader, and I think it's worth saying, if you're going to offer a local kid and you're Penn State, you're going to offer a kid like this, you better be sure. If you're Georgia sending out just a token offer to a kid in Harrisburg, you've never met him, you've only seen film of him, it's one thing to kind of let that relationship go cold. If you're Penn State and you do that with a local kid, that's how relationships end up getting fractured, so to speak. So there's more to talk about here. Coming off Lash Bash weekend, looking at Penn State's class as a whole, Jimmy and I got a chance to talk about the 30 commit thing, but I wanted to get your thoughts as well. But first, we'll take a quick break.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.